Good. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask? So it's not just a conference, so we are open for fellowship. Okay?
I have a question.
Yes.
Like, when the Lord comes back, I mean, the most important thing is the reality of everything we know.
Yes.
So the substance is the most important thing.
Of course.
So what is the substance of all the other aspects of Christ we were just reading? Because now we were fellowshipping about the white hair, but there were still some other aspects of Christ, and I'm hungry for the reality of this. So I'm just asking, how can we get to experience that in our everyday life?
Actually, knowing this wonderful, great high priest in the book of Revelation does not nullify the Christ that we have known in the Gospel, in the book of Acts, in the epistles. They're all included. Right? Today, even if you're a mathematician, you still need to practice 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 times 2 equals 4. 10 divided by 2 equals 5. That still applies automatically. Our experience of Christ as our Redeemer, as our Savior, as our life, as the head of the body, the church, and all those epistles in the book of Romans, it all applies. And if you don't know and apply such a Christ from A to Z in the book of the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, then you cannot apply this Christ here. Right? Because this wonderful Christ is the same Christ as in the Gospel. Even the same Christ as prophesied in the Bible, in the Old Testament scriptures. Right? It's nothing new. Christ is still the King. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, right? The government shall be in his shoulder. He is the mighty God. He is not only the child born, given to us. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Everything is already there. Don't think that if we know this Christ, those things are not important anymore in the past. But everything is included. His love, his salvation, his help. Only this aspect is needed. It does not mean that knowing this wonderful Christ in the book of Revelation, you don't need the past anymore. No, it's all included. Right? Whatever you learn from kindergarten to university is all included in what you're doing today in your job. You may not think about, oh yeah, I've learned that in kindergarten. No, you don't need to go back and think about it because it's already a part of your human life. It's already incorporated. Right. So when we are talking about this wonderful aspect, it does not annul what we have learned of Christ in the past. Right. Concerning his love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, for example, it is included. Right. That he is such a Christ does not mean that he doesn't love the churches anymore. No, it's because he loves us. Whom I love, he said in the last church, I chastened. So the chastening is love. Right? Just like the parents loving the children. You still love your children, right? But he's so big now. Don't treat him like a baby. But your love for him never changes. Right? But it is different. The aspect, the expression of your love for James is different. But it's still the same love as when he was born. It's the same thing here. Right. Now we're talking about a priesthood. Right. It is in the university level, even in the grad school level. The level is much higher now, what the Lord is showing us, but a principle applies. Right. Our love for the saints remains the same, even increases. But the way we deal with it is very different, because the level of maturity is different. The same thing with the church life. So may the Lord grant us wisdom and understanding. This is why when John saw him, he was so afraid. But the Lord says, no, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's the same Christ. I was alive. You knew I was alive. You were with me. And then I died. And you were even there. But now I'm alive again. Now I live forever and ever. Except it is in a higher, more wonderful, glorious level. He's now the King, the great heavenly high priest. According to the order of Melchizedek, prince, right, king of righteousness, king of peace. Right. It's in a very different level. A very, very different level. Praise the Lord. Right. We need to see as life grows, things change, but the principle is still the same. You still need to take care of the life, just like a tree. Still need to take care of it. Still need water, sunshine. Still need fertilizer. Still need care, trimming and all that, right, to keep the tree well. Even when needed to cut, right? Mary always cut the trees there. I feel sorry for a tree. I thought, do you have to cut it? Do you have to cut that much? But, well, if you don't cut it, it doesn't bear fruit. Right. But cutting is also because of love. You want to see fruit coming out of the tree. Right. So, this wonderful Christ, I'm glad you asked this question. This wonderful Christ is the same as when he was on this earth. Right. He's sitting on the throne today. His love for the church has never changed. That's why he's not only the King of Kings, but he's also a priest, a great high priest, taking care of the golden lampstands. Right. So many times, if somebody became the president or someone, then all of a sudden, he changed. He changed. Right. But our Lord is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed. Right. Except we don't expect that he's going to treat us the same way, because we are also not the same. We are very different from the time we were born, right? You remember when the time we were children, Shirley, right? George. But now it is very different. But it doesn't mean that the past has nothing to do with the present. Praise the Lord. Right. Amen. That's why the Lord is the beginning, but he is also the end. He's the first, but he's also the last. He's Alpha, and he is also the Omega. It doesn't mean that he's the Omega, he's no longer Alpha. Right. So praise the Lord. You know. But in our situation today, especially practicing the priesthood, we need a great high priest. Holy, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens, glorious. In Hebrews chapter 7 says he is fitting for us, just what we need today when we are practicing the priesthood. Praise the Lord. This is why the priesthood is important, and for the priesthood we need the great high priest. Okay? Amen. Yeah.
What do you say about Psalm 131? I mean, David's is telling us we should be like it says, right? Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Shouldn't be just, you know, like children. I mean, because the Lord said that two times, unless you are like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And unless you are like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven.
Correct.
And this psalm also somehow tells us, if it's too profound, I mean...
But Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in Ephesians chapter 4, in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, be no more children. Right? Don't remain as babes, but we have to go on to maturity. We have to grow. Don't just drink milk. But we have to eat solid food. There are two aspects. But it does not mean that if you're grown, you're proud. No. The more you grow in spiritual life, the more humble you will become. Yeah. It doesn't mean that we become like a little baby. You need to take care of me. I'm just a little baby. Give me milk. No. But to be like a child, it does not mean that I become like a little baby. But to be humble, to be relying on God. Right? It does not mean that you're growing in spiritual life, you don't need God anymore. You're independent. No. No. The Lord, when he was on this earth, he depended on the Father from the day one all the way to the cross. He was one with the Father. He never did anything without the Father. He never said any word without the Father speaking. He was relying on the Father all the time. It doesn't mean that he was a babe. No. Right. So, the more we grow in our spiritual life, the more we experience the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. The humility. Right. To become like a child does not mean that we all behave like babies. Of course. Right.
Concern ourselves with profound matters that are too profound for us. What does it mean?
Well, we, the human being, we like to deal with things very profound, and we're even proud that we know. I know what you don't know, you know, right? We are like that. But we shouldn't be. Right? We like to learn a lot of worldly things that make us proud. Right? We, still carrying this flesh with us, we cannot take it. We just have a little praise from people and we become proud already. because we are not able to take it. And if somebody said anything that is offending you, oh, no, you did something wrong like that, you're not good. Oh, what are you going to do? Especially if your husband told you that. Ah, boy, you're going to have a week of trouble. Right, George? You're going to have 1 week. 1 week is still good, right? Tolerable. We cannot bear it. Things that are beyond us. You know, in seeking after the Lord, it depends also on the Lord. When he thinks you are mature enough, he will show you. Don't try to learn from, okay, I want to know more, I go to theological seminary. Aha, I'm in seminary. And to study there and learn this and learn that. But there's no life in those things. Right? In seeking God, let God reveal himself to you. We need a revelation because this is too high for us to know. How can you know things that are heavenly? Right. Nobody can know God except that he reveals himself to you. Yeah. But on the other hand, we should be humble like a child. Meaning to say that we always need him. This is why the Lord says in John chapter 15, for apart from me, oh yeah, you can do a lot of things. Did he say that?
No, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Oh, come on. You believe that? You do nothing? You can do a lot of things, but to do spiritual things, to do according to the will of God, it's something else. This is why in the Constitution, chapter 7, the Lord says, oh, you use my name, you do a lot of work in my name. The Lord says, but I don't know you. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven will enter into the kingdom. Not just doing some Christian work because you got a degree of theology, then now you're qualified to be a priest, to be a pastor, and all that. No, that is not a qualification. Paul threw away his diplomas. Whatever he earned, he was a top student in theology, in the Jewish theology. He learned from the greatest teacher of his time, Gamaliel. No, he was supposed to take his place, maybe. Maybe to be the top rabbi. He was very qualified. What did he do? He burned his certificates and everything, his record. He burned it. He considered them as dung, rubbish, to gain Christ. And to gain Christ, you need a revelation from him. That's why he prayed that the Father will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him properly, corrected, not correctly, to know Christ in a living way. I didn't know Mo through books. No? Is there any book about you that I should read?
No.
Right. It's a relationship. It's a living relationship. Our relationship with God must be a living relationship. Yeah. So praise the Lord. He's right in the book of Psalms. He's right. The more you know him, the more you rely upon him. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 or chapter 9, Paul says, if anybody says and claim he knows God, he knows nothing yet. right? But if somebody loves God, then he is known of God. And that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Now, there's something else. Ah, we don't have much time left, but it's okay. I don't need much time. Let's go to chapter 4, unless you have any more questions in chapter 1 to 3. You can read it yourself. Right. It's not difficult to understand. It's all in plain language. You just have to read and pray over it. And consider it. Think about it. Pray about it. Meditate on it. Right? You all know what first love is. The best love for the Lord. Okay, so what if you know? What else do you have to know about the first love? Don't ask me, how do I love him? I don't know. No, who can teach you, right? But you have to pray, Lord, teach me, show me, and work in me through the Holy Spirit and the anointing how to love you and to remind me all the time to turn back, to repent. Because there's nothing more to say. Right. But you know your heart. You know whether you truly love the Lord or not. And if your love is not the best love for the Lord, you are the only one who knows. I don't know what you love. What do you love? I don't know. Right? But you know. So you're the only one who knows if you love the Lord the best. Nobody can help you. So we don't need a message about returning to the first love. And the Lord says, remember from whence, at what point you're fallen. How can anybody tell you what point you fell? When did you leave the first love? Who can tell you? You, only you. So, no need to give a message about that. Because no one can help you. But when you read, the anointing within you will inspire you, will teach you, will show you, and you will know. We have all received this anointing within us. If we only learn to pay attention to the anointing, you'll be surprised. He will teach you all things. That's why the Word taught us, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Right, you don't need a teacher. We always want a teacher. But the best one dwells in us. And he will teach you things nobody else could teach you. Because only he knew your condition. So if we learn to turn to the anointing within us, the anointing will show you this wonderful great high priest walking in our midst. His eyes sees everything. You think you can hide things from him? No, you can hide things from people. Right? There is no person here with X-ray vision. Don't be influenced by the comics Superman. Only the Lord knows. If there is a Superman, you know who he is. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. So, read many times concerning the description of this wonderful great high priest. The more you read, the more the anointing will teach you. And will give you a sense in your daily living what you should do. and to see that he has feet like burning brass in the furnace of fire, they're hot, walking in the midst. Can you imagine such a person walking in our midst? The judgment is there, but it's not to destroy us, it is to help us. Right. It gives you a feeling, because if it's a cold feet, lukewarm feet, and walking all over us, we won't feel anything. You think you will feel something if it is lukewarm? You won't feel anything, even if you touch it. Right? So we always like to drink something that is lukewarm or cold. But judgment, no, is hot. So that you will know, you will have a feeling. And his word, how many times the word of God, when you read, cuts through your heart? Or you just read and praise the Lord, close the Bible, and that's it, you walk away. No effect. But the word cutting through your heart, like a sharp two-edged sword. Have you ever been cut? What do you do if you're cut? Oh, even a little bit, you already call the doctor. Dr. George, I got a cut here.
Don't worry about it.
Don't go to this doctor. If you call on the name of the Lord will never tell you. Don't worry about it. But the word of God is living and operative and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's not only written here in the Revelation chapter 1. It's already written in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God cuts through our heart, exposes the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And if you read a Bible and nothing happens, you must read it again. There must be something wrong with your reading. Read it again. Let the Lord shine through your heart. Right. Otherwise, you read it and it doesn't affect you. It's not good. This great high priest, when he speaks, it works. Right. And let him hold you in his right hand. Right. Have you ever prayed to the Lord, Lord, don't drop me, okay? Don't let me go. Hold me tight. Just like you're walking with a child. Especially today, you better hold the children's hand tightly. It's dangerous. Right. So the Lord must hold us in his right hand. The more you grow in life and bear some responsibility, the more you need the Lord to hold you tightly in your hand. Because the responsibility is greater. If you're a president of this country and you're like Biden, you're going to destroy the whole country. So the more responsibility, the more you grow in life and serve in the churches, the more you need to be held tightly in his right hand. You learn obedience. Can you imagine the Lord did not obey God? Then it's over. Then we won't have a Savior. Then his job is done. Don't think it is easy for the Lord as a man living on this earth. Even at the age of 12, you think you're free. You can do anything because you're a young boy, a young girl. Well, the Lord learned even when he was young. All the way to the cross. Don't think the Lord didn't have a feeling. He prayed. He says, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. All the way to the cross. So, looking unto Jesus, what do you see in Jesus? Just the cross? What about his whole life? Right. What about his whole life? So we want to gain the humanity of the Lord. Well, you need to observe him. It's not just, okay, he's our meal offering, but you're not observing him. How are you going to eat him? You observe the humanity of the Lord Jesus. When you read the gospel, you contemplate on how the Lord reacted, his wisdom, his patience. What would you do with Peter if you were the Lord, denying him 3 times? What would you have done? Kick him out. That's right. Did the Lord do that? Not only the Lord didn't kick him out, he became one of the top apostles. The Lord even used him in the day of Pentecost. Right. And to write those epistles, wonderful epistles. Suppose the Lord kicked him out, who can replace him? But we are very quick to write people off, right? This is the humanity of the Lord. This is the humanity of the Lord. So we need to read the Word to know, to learn Christ and how he reacted. To learn his wisdom. Right? What he did when people were challenging him. How he answered. And his patience. I wouldn't keep Judas if I were Jesus. Would you? But you think the Lord kept Judas without knowing what he was going to do? So if the Lord knew what Judas is going to do, you think the Lord will not keep an eye on him? Right. So we all need to learn Christ, not to learn doctrine. Right. When we read the Word of God, we want to gain him, not to gain doctrine. Then the Lord will enlighten us. Then the Holy Spirit, the anointing, will teach us. Including this wonderful great high priest walking in our midst today, and especially for the priesthood. And the golden lampstand. This is why at the very end, in this first 3 chapters, the Lord portrayed the church as a golden lampstand. It is in the holy place. You cannot put a lampstand anywhere else. There's a proper spot for the lampstand. Right. And only the great high priest can take care of it. Don't just let anybody come in and spoil it and put gasoline instead of fresh, living olive oil, pure. And put, oh, We don't have olive oil. Do you have some gasoline? It might cause an explosion in the holy place. You set the holy place on fire. It's fresh, living, pure. It's also called golden oil in Zechariah chapter 4. Golden oil. All these have a very fine, wonderful spiritual meaning in our experience. This oil. So it is all about a priesthood and a priestly service. And a priestly service. That's what a great high priest in his wonderful garment, it's not just white garment, but as a great high priest there, you can see even that garment is beautiful. It's for beauty and for glory. And the Lord bore all the 12 tribes, their names in his two shoulders, 6 in each shoulder. It's very meaningful. It's according to birth, not according to what he likes. Oh, I prefer Judah, so I put Judah first. And then I put Benjamin, the youngest one. And then I'll put Reuben, Daniel, the last. Right? No, it is according to birth. That's why James says to practice faith without what?
Partiality.
You have partiality? Who doesn't have partiality? You may say all of us have. That's right. That's why we need this great heavenly high priest to serve us. What do you learn from that in the service of the priesthood? Do not criticize, oh, his offering. It's always the same. Goodness, why do you want to criticize others? You have partiality. And if there is something lacking, you pray. Before the golden incense altar, pray for the saints. Pray for one another. And even help one another. Share something to help one another to increase in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for more wisdom and revelation, that the saints will know Christ. It's much better than criticism, isn't it? Your criticism will never help anyone. Not only it will not help anyone, it will damage yourself. Yeah. You think Christ always criticizes you? Becky, did Christ always criticize you? No. No, he will help us. Help us to improve. Help us to be better. Criticism will never help anyone. Especially if you criticize people behind their back, then they even get less help. No need of that in the priesthood. But to pray for one another, to help one another to know more of Christ in the Word. In our fellowship, then the priesthood will grow. Share more concerning the truth. The truth will set us free and will help us to go on. Will prevail, will change us. Right. This is the job of this wonderful great high priest. And his face shines a sun in his might. We all need sunlight. All of God's creation needs sunlight. Not just you and I, but the trees, they ask them. You think the trees don't understand, right? Well, the Bible says the trees are clapping their hands. Praise the Lord. Don't think it's just the wind blowing. They're clapping their hands. And the stars and the heavens, they speak without words. The glory of the Lord. Psalm 19. The heaven declares the glory of God without words. When you see the sun, does it remind you of the Lord, whose face shines as the sun in his might? And when you see the moon, what does it remind you? If the sun signifies Christ, the moon signifies the church. Sometimes it's full moon and sometimes it disappears. Right. So we need the Lord's grace. We need Him to help us. Right. Don't always be ready to hear nice words. No. Nice words is not always helpful. But the truth hurts. But speak the truth in love. That is the most effective way. Ephesians chapter 4. But speaking the truth in love will help us to grow into Christ, who is the head. Right. So don't criticize, but speak the truth in love. This is the work of the high priest here. He's just a wonderful, great high priest, and we need him. It's not for us to be afraid. If you're afraid, the Lord will tell you to be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Yeah. Right. So, praise the Lord for this great heavenly high priest. Time is up again.